And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we draw ever the closer to the end of another church year, and as we draw to the close of a church year, it's a reminder to us of the close of this earth, of this world that one day will be destroyed on Judgment Day. And so the hymns and the service gets a little more somber during this time of the year. And yet, we come here with security, living in the hope that our Lord gives to us. And so I'd like us to go to the Old Testament reading from Malachi chapter 4. And I'm going to reread the first two verses. Quite the illustrations the Lord provides for us, and quite a contrast. And in a moment, we're going to look at those illustrations on the screen. But here's what God says: "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." Quite a contrast, isn't it? And don't you just love that picture? Little calf that's leaping, probably in the spring. You know, and I can really relate to this growing up on a farm ranch, and our cattle would be confined to the corrals all winter long. Used to have a lot tougher winters than we've had in recent times. And then in the spring, we'd run them through the chute, give them their shots, and then we'd open the gates. And I can just still hear my dad's voice every time we let a steer out of the chute. You know, we're turning you out to live. And boy, they would go running out of the chute, and the corral gate would be open to the pasture, and that was the picture we would see. It was like, yes, you know, and there was excitement, there was freedom, there was life. And I love how God uses very simple earthly illustrations that we can readily understand. But then on the other side of the curve, the Lord describes those who do not believe, and what their condition is, and especially their condition on Judgment Day, and it's like the burning stubble. And you know, out in wheat lands like eastern Colorado the panhandle of Nebraska, that's not really an uncommon scene, and sometimes farmers would burn their stubble. And it was to try and destroy the weed seed if there was a major weed problem in the crop. And so it would destroy the seed, and it was one of the only ways that you could do that. Well, it's interesting, as we heard from God's word, not only does the stubble burn, but God says, so that we'll leave them neither root nor branch. So God is talking about total extermination here in terms of the life of those who reject him, but not in the sense they're going to experience this for eternity. It's not like they're going to be unconscious and dead. And in fact, Isaiah says their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched. A horrifying future for the unbelieving world, those who reject Christ and what he has accomplished. And so today, God wants us to know. And don't you love it about God? He doesn't leave us in the dark about these things. He doesn't hide these realities from us, but he just lays it out there for the world to hear. And the Lord's announcement to the world is that the day is coming. The day is coming. It's not like it might come, but it's coming. We don't know when, only God knows that, but the day of judgment will come. But you know, the good news is that God announces that it hasn't happened yet. We're still here, the world is still going on, and that's really good news. And it's God's will, it's by his design, especially for the sake of the lost. And so we heard in the Old Testament reading about Elijah. Now, in the context of Malachi, Elijah is really pointing forward to John the Baptist. And so that God is going to send this messenger as a forerunner of the Savior who is coming in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And John's message, like Elijah's, by the way, in the Old Testament, is a message of preparation. And how do we prepare? But it's revealing our sin and it's calling for repentance. That is God's message to the world, that we are all sinful human beings, that we are in need of God's forgiveness, and God is calling upon us to repent. Not a complicated message. And by repentance, to acknowledge our sin and to strive to turn away from it. That's what God's call is to the world. Now, can we ever even begin to do that perfectly? Absolutely not. And so what good news that Elijah, John the Baptist, are forerunners of the one who could resolve this problem of sin. And that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist when early in Jesus' ministry, you can find it in John chapter 1, John saw Jesus in the crowd and he pointed him out and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so God announces to the world then his Son who came. And it's no different right here this morning as God speaks to us through his word. He's reminding all of us in this room. He's announcing to the world still, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so we live in this time of grace. We live in this time of announcement of the gospel. The tragedy is most people refuse to listen. But it's not going to stop that day of judgment. The day will come. And so we as believers are called to anticipate the day. In other words, that we live our lives each and every day knowing and being prepared and ready for the reality that today could be the day. God may choose to end the world today. It could happen, but only God knows. But the question is, are we prepared in our hearts and minds today if that should happen? And you know, it could happen for us individually, right? Because when our life ends on this earth individually, that's when that personal judgment comes. It's not like there's another opportunity, but when our life ends, when we die, that's judgment day individually for us. When the Lord returns, it's a public announcement. God is revealing his church to the world. And so the question is, are we ready? You know, Mary Kelly, one of our dear members, Mary used to sit over in this section. But I always remember I shared with Mary one time, I said, "You know, Mary, every day I'm about 10 feet away from death several times over." And she looked at me, I can still see her, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, every time I drive from Windsor to Greeley on 257, and back in that day you just saw a few cars, now it's bumper to bumper both ways. I said, every car I pass, about 10 feet apart or so, closure speed of 120 some mile an hour, and I said, if a car just suddenly lost control and came into my lane, there's virtually nothing I could do and my life could end just like that." And she said, "You really think about that?" And I said, "Yeah. Yeah, because it's a reality." But we all should think about that, not in a morbid way, not in a terrified way, not in a dysfunctional way, but to recognize that today may be our last day. We never know. And that's okay as God's people, because we know the incredible place the Lord has prepared for us. And so what does life look like for you and me? Well, there's just a rich plethora of verses in in the readings today. And by the way, in the sermon notes in your bulletin, the references are all there. But I'm just going to give some quotes just out of our scripture readings for today. And it's really a beautiful synopsis of what our lives should look like as God's children. Number one, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't you love that? God says, don't grow weary in doing good. And what a joy that we are called to serve in God's kingdom to do what? To do good, to do the good works that the Lord gives to us. It's the reason we have another day of life on this earth. But then there's warning in the words today from Jesus, see that you are not led astray. And oh my gosh, the communication today. You know, I was reading about my Huskers. It's fun to read the past now because it's not a pleasant picture in the present time. But anyway, a sports writer was talking about the Gotham Bowl back in 1962. Nebraska played Miami in New York City in the Gotham Bowl. And it was cold and there was like 5,000 people that showed up for the game. But anyway, where was I going with this? See, yesterday really messed with me, Luke. He's a Wisconsin fan. the communication. So the sports writer, he said it was the only game that he got to watch that year. It was the only game on TV, and he lived in Omaha. It was an ABC station in Omaha, and he had a blurry, fuzzy picture of the game. Why? Because the signal of that station was so weak. That's where communication was in the 60s. Where is it at now? You have everything right here, right? And every day we see people staring at these things. And there's lots of information being fed into the mind, but is it true? Is it God's truth? And most of it isn't. Most of it's bogus. A lot of it's extremely evil, and God warns us, do not be led astray. To be on our toes every day, even as people solid in the Word, to recognize the evil around us. But then to not be terrified. I loved Angela's message with the kids this morning. You don't have to be afraid or terrified. Why? Because the victory is solid in place through Jesus Christ. Yep, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all of these horrendous things that we've already experienced, but it's even going to intensify and get worse. But the Lord says we don't have to be terrified about these things. I don't want you to live in terror. But instead, look at the opportunities. The opportunities to bear witness. You know, as gruesome as things can seem today, what an opportunity to share the gospel. Because do you think there's a lot of people that are afraid? I mean, when you're out in the community, are people afraid? Oh my gosh, it's, you know, the things that are flaunted on the media, I mean, they alone try to create things to be terrified of, even though they're blown way out of proportion. At least that's my perspective. But people are terrified about a lot of things. And we have the good news. We have what can take that terror away as we share with them Jesus Christ. The Lord tells us that our redemption draws near. We already are redeemed, but redemption drawing near, meaning it's going to be fully realized. Meaning the Lord is coming, the one who has redeemed us, he's going to come. And that time could be very near, and live our lives as such. But in it all, from the Psalms this morning, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Isn't that cool? That in the midst of all the troubles that we experience in life on this earth, God's blessings supersede them by a long ways. You know, last Thursday morning Bible study, heard a very profound statement. Came from one of our elders, Steve Cooper. But Steve made the statement, we are not allowed to have a bad day. Think about that. We, meaning we Christians, are not allowed to have a bad day. And we're all kind of looking at Steve like, Steve, what are you talking about? And then Steve qualified that. He says, we are not allowed to have a bad day when we are a child of the King. Isn't that cool? That's a profound statement. That when we're a child of the King, meaning Jesus Christ, we have now the security of everlasting life. We have the security of God's love. We have the security of His provisions for us. We have the security of heaven. And yes, there are days that can be very seemingly overwhelming and bad, but when we weigh that against that we're a child of the King, it puts everything in a whole new realm and perspective. I'll never forget that statement from Steve. And then I think of our school theme as Kyle's going to speak to us between services from Thessalonians, you know, which includes rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. This is our life. And you know, when you think of that leaping calf, That's really very descriptive, as the Lord gives it to us, of what our life is as God's people. And other people see that, by the way, in you and me, as we live out our faith on this earth. And don't you think they may wonder, how can they be so joyful? And what an opportunity when we are invited to explain that. Because the reality is most remain separated from the Lord. Most even deny that they would stand in the sanctuary this morning and say, you know, pastor, whoever you are, it's all bogus. You really believe in that stuff? That's the world, the unbelieving world. And you and I live in this world. It's our neighbors, maybe some of our family, it may be people we socialize with. And there's the arrogance, as Malachi describes it, as God does through him. And in that arrogance, it's like, God, I don't need you. You know, and there's an absolute despising of God and his church. There's evildoers, and as described in Scripture and in the prophecy this morning, what are evildoers? Not only do they do evil themselves, but they also promote it. And so we see that being flaunted before our eyes in our culture today. What used to be shameful and hidden in the closet is now out there in the public, flaunted upon us and saying, you got to accept me, because this is real life today and it's okay. And if you don't, then you're narrow-minded and bigoted. It's the world we live in. But that's the pure evil that the Lord warns us about. And with that, of course, as Jesus speaks of it in the gospel today, the persecution. You and I are subtly persecuted if we confront that stuff. And in some parts of the world, there's severe persecution. And people listen to false doctrine, false teachings. Isn't it ironic that people are very open to all kinds of wild and wacky philosophies that are over the internet today, and they buy into it immediately? And yet, if you try to share with them the truth, it's like, that's really bogus. I don't even want to listen to you about that. But it shouldn't shock us. It's the times in which we live, not unlike the times of the unbelieving world throughout history. Denying that this world will ever end, denying that hell even is a real place. And but God says the time will come. The day will come. And then that's what that day is going to look like for the unbelieving world. We don't wish that upon anybody, do we? But it's a reality. And again, the Lord warns us. He informs us. But you know, as Christians, we welcome the day. We look forward to the day when we're out of our suffering, when we're out of the culture in which we're living today, and we're living in the pure holy church and glory in heaven. But that hasn't come yet. And so now, living as we welcome the day, we focus on God's will for the present time. That is our goal in life as God's people, is to really focus on His will. And we joyfully serve the Lord in His kingdom of grace. And so we see people running after what the world has to offer. God is calling you and me to run after them. and to share with them the fallacy of what they're trusting in, and to bring to them the good news of the King. Last Thursday, Bible study. Boy, I tell you, we have quite a Bible study Thursday morning. Pastor Hesse leads that one, and Pastor Hesse made the statement, if you knew that today was the last day, so somehow you knew that Jesus was returning at 7:30 this evening, who would you talk to? Is there family members that you know that don't believe? Are there neighbors that you assume do not believe? Are there people that you work with that do not believe? And you know now, 7:30 this evening, the Lord's coming. And then it's too late. The time of grace is over. Judgment comes upon the world. And Pastor Hesse asked, who would you talk to? And I'm sure every one of you had somebody come to mind. Would I encourage you, treat today as though Jesus is coming at 7:30 this evening. And call that person. Invite that person out for coffee or whatever, but get together with them and see if you can have a hearing for the gospel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are people of hope, and we live knowing the Son of Righteousness. Isn't that cool in our reading? But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Now, Son in the prophecy is S-U-N, but immediately we think of S-O-N, don't we? Jeremiah speaks of Jesus as being the Lord, our righteousness, and he is. He's the one that makes us right, and Jesus did that by fulfilling the law, by dying upon the cross, and my favorite passage in Scripture, perhaps, but God made him who had no sin to what? Be sin for us, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. There it is. We cannot do that, but Jesus has already done it. And when he proclaimed from the cross, it is finished, it's done. There's nothing additional that needs to be done. It's offered to the world. Everybody can have it in their possession. The only way is if we push it away, that we don't have it. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many push it away. 7:30 tonight, if Jesus is coming, who are you going to introduce again, maybe, to the righteous one? And that through him alone, they have the security of everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I sure enjoy being that leaping calf. I don't want to be the burning stubble, nor do I want to see anybody else in that position. But it's not too late. We're still alive. The Lord gives us this moment, and may we use it then to his glory as we look with hope and certainty to an incredible future, not to be feared, but to be welcomed. In Jesus' name, who has won the victory for us. Amen.